that's right. First time I used that little. It should be right. I think it's right. Oh, the light came on, but it went back off, so. Okay, it's good. It's always good to come and to worship the Lord. It's always good to come into the house of the Lord. What a joy it is to come to on a beautiful day like today. And I just want to share today. I think I'm going to share on the kingdom of God. I was going to share on the resurrection. I went to studying here a little bit and here and there. And I just said, well, I kept looking and thinking, because I want to be certain. I try to be, what do you want, Lord? What do you want? We want what you want, and that's all we need. Like Mike was sharing there, we have our needs, and he's promised to be faithful. He will supply our needs. He's good for his word. But sometimes we desire things, and Mike was saying, the Lord goes beyond our needs. There's times when he allows us to have some things that we desire. But we need to desire him, of all things. So first I want to say here, as I get started, I'll just share a few scriptures, and we'll see what the Lord has for us. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for the privilege of to share your word, and we pray that you'll be presented here to us all. May we see Christ in him only. Lord, may I not be seen for who I am. I'm just a servant, a messenger here to share what you've given me or allowed me to come up with. We trust you, and we pray that you'll open our eyes and our heart to be receptive. And then may we just see Jesus. Lord, it's you that we live for, and it's you that lives in us, and you're working your will out in our lives. So thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I looked up in Noah Webster's dictionary about a kingdom. First, there's got to be a king to have a kingdom. And we can find it throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament, all the way up to the New Testament, about the king. And in the parables, the kingdom of heaven. He talks about the kingdom of heaven. He talks about the kingdom of God. And on the definition of the king, a leader, one who attracts or draws. I thought that was interesting, because Jesus is the leader. He's in charge. And he is the one that attracts. We should be attracted to him. We should desire him more than anything in life, because he is our life. He is our hope, and he is our comfort. And he is all in all. And I'm glad that I know him. I trust that all of you know him. But if a person doesn't know him, I pray, would to God, they would come to know him, because one day, you're going to not be here. We're only here for a while. But he draws us. And he says, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. So Jesus draws us by the Holy Spirit. And it says it's one who goes before. He goes before. Because he came, and he always was, but he goes before. He's the head of the body, okay? We're the body, the church. It's what it says there about the king, a sovereign, a prince, and a ruler. And he rules in righteousness. And he rules in love and in grace and mercy. And Christ is called the king of his church, okay? He's the king, and we can accept him as the king too. They said, you say you're the king of the Jews. what sayest thou? He said that to them, and they crucified him, his own people. You know the story. He came into his own. That's the Jewish brethren. And his own received him not. But there are some that did receive him. There's a remnant, the elect Jews. Some had received him, but the nation as a whole, they rejected him. And I believe it's through unbelief and through their eyes not being open, they were blinded and they didn't put faith in the Messiah. They were looking for a Messiah, but they were looking for one that would do what they wanted him to do. But he needed to look to him. God says, look unto me and be ye saved. So we got to look to Jesus. And as a Christian, we keep looking to him. And I want to say also, not only is he the king of the church, but he's the king. The king is coming. I want to encourage you to believe the truth, because it teaches us here. The king is coming. And one day he will appear. And we'll be with him. But that's comfort, to know that he cares enough. And then the kingdom, a king has to have a kingdom. In Scripture, it says a government or a universal dominion of God. So it's the righteous government. He's going to end up, one day he's going to establish in the end there, right before the end of the world, will be the 1,000-year millennial reign. It'll be a literal reign. And then that's the physical reign. But right now, he's reigning in our hearts, okay? He lives and reigns, and he's interceding for us. He's for us. And the dominion of God, there had to be a domain. It's like when you break words down, you can see something in there that it's his domain. This earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He has supreme authority. And the reign of the Messiah, I want to say, in the kingdom, refers to the rule of the anointed one. The Messiah means the anointed one. But there's the rule of God. And throughout the gospel, he spoke of the kingdom. Okay? You'll find him talking about the kingdom over and over again. It was a theme that was on his lips, speaking, but the kingdom is coming, the kingdom of God, and the kingdom, he said the kingdom of God is at hand. Mark 1:14-15, I think we'll just read that. I don't know if I had that written down. I think I do, though. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. He said, repent and believe. Okay? So really, he's saying, believe me. The kingdom is at hand. He was there, and they didn't realize he was in their very midst. And that's who they needed, the king of the kingdom. Okay? And then the gospel, they believe the gospel. This is what he come preaching. Sent John the Baptist, prepare the way. And then, of course, Jesus preached the good news that the kingdom had come. The kingdom is, it's Christ and his kingdom. It's his reign, it's his realm, and he's coming again, but he's here in our hearts, and he's up there above. He's living in heaven. But he's living in our hearts. Aren't you glad of that? Think about how that he can be there, he can be here, and he can be everywhere. There's nowhere that he can't be, because he is God. But yet he took on the human flesh. He became born of a baby and took on a human being. He's as much person as he is God. He's both. But yet he is love. And he is grace, but he has justice and goodness, but he is righteous, and he's going to judge the world, the unbelieving world, by not trusting him. This is his desire, that all people be saved, but yet not all will. But he died for the whole world. It's not his will that any should be lost. The Jews, let me say, was looking for a Redeemer called the Messiah who would establish his kingdom in victory. They wanted him to set up his kingdom right then and there, and they were looking for a physical kingdom instead of a spiritual kingdom. It was a kingdom from within. It's in our lives. Once we accept Jesus, we're placed in the kingdom of God. We're adopted into the kingdom. They didn't understand because of their unbelief. They rejected him. And I want to say Romans 11, 25 and 26, speaking of the Jews, a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And all Israel will be saved. Okay? That's good news. Now, but it's only going to be those who believe in Israel. The national Israel has rejected Christ, and the nation will still reject him, even in the tribulation time, and then up to now, as time has went on till we are living in these days, not alone the early days, in the latter days, but there will be many they'll side against him, and they'll reject him, just like the unbelievers, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. See, right now we're living in, I understand, the age of grace, where he's paid his penalty for sin, and he quickened us and changed us by the gift of God, eternal life. He said, "You would not come to me that you might have life." They didn't accept him for who he was. I say it's temporary blindness. The Jews will be saved during the tribulation period. When I say that, that'll be the elect. There's going to be Jews saved during the tribulation period, and there's Jews. Some Jews are being saved today. I don't know how many, though. But a lot of them are still following the works of the law and trying to save themselves. But in the book of Acts, he said, save yourself from this untoward generation. You know, this generation we're living in is a generation of darkness. And all since the beginning of time, it was dark. But the light has come, and it's Christ. I said here, the elect remnant, the elect will be saved, okay? Until Christ returns to earth as King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what's going to be when he's coming in all his splendor and all his glory. All believing Israel will be saved. And when I say that, the unbelieving of the national Israel will be destroyed. With all unbelievers that reject him. Okay? But it's those that believe. The requirement is to believe. The kingdom of God is overall the same as the kingdom of heaven, I believe. One's above and one's below. But it can be interchanged, I believe, together, I think. It's a spiritual kingdom I'm speaking of, but there's going to be a literal reign of rule to come. And a verse I'd like to read, a simple verse that you've heard, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's the A part. I just want you to see that. And I believe it means continue to seek. People are searching, but a lot of people don't know where to look to. And it's man's nature is to go away. He's blind and he's separated from God because of his sin, and he has this way about him that he's just walking without God. Until you come to know him, you're separated from God. But what is the kingdom of God? It's God's rule over his people. He's in charge. He's the sovereign in the heavens. The sovereignty of God was the kingdom of God. The kingdom is referred to in the Old, like I say, as well as in the New Testament. In Psalm 22:28, it says, "For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations." So over the whole universe, he is over all. And he is Lord. In Philippians 2:10-11, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. That's going to happen one day, whether they accept him or not. But they're going to recognize him. He's Lord. But they won't accept him because of unbelief. In Psalms 103:19, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty, the kingdom, rules over all the universe. He's established his throne in heaven. The word is forever settled in heaven. That's the Lord Jesus. He's seated on the throne. And Psalms 145:13, King David spoke and said, "The kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion throughout all generations." An everlasting kingdom. Just think about that. Will be with him forever, and his kingdom will not end. That's awesome, you know. And then Daniel, I'm going to read some stuff here. Daniel 7:14, it says, "To him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and language might serve him." That all people, nations, and language might serve him. His dominion is everlasting, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will not be destroyed. So he's the winner. We win with him. We don't lose in him. The losers are those that say no to God. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus spoke of the kingdom of God. If you go through there, you'll see him repeatedly speaking, because the kingdom was near. But yet, they didn't realize that he's the king. He's the one they need, but they were looking for what they wanted. Jesus said in Matthew 12:28, Jesus said, "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Speaking of the presence of the king. They didn't realize that the kingdom of God was upon them. And yet, they blasphemed him, and then they ridiculed him of being doing the works of Satan, casting out demons by the Spirit of God. He wasn't doing no works of Satan. He done it from the power of God, his Father. And he lived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus lived, and we do the same. We trust in his power. It's apart from us, we can do nothing. So we abide in him, we trust in him, we rely upon him, and we live unto him. But most of all, he's living in us, and he is working out his will, and we come to the realization through surrender that we'll say, "Here am I, Lord." Surrender yourself to Jesus. Hey, you ain't got nothing to lose. He's for you. He's not against you. And he can run your life better than you could. Okay? Because I needed him. And he revealed that need to me. And he convicted me by the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit will convict you. And then he draws me. He gave me he enabled me to get up and go. And ask someone to help me to trust in the Lord. So that's what it's about. Coming to God. And you can live in the kingdom of light. And then you're forever, one day will be forever at home. But he says, Mark 10:15, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." So humility is the way of God, but a little child will receive. I believe if you talk to them about the Lord and you just encourage them and you be kind to them and you help them and tell them Jesus loves you, by all means, just say Jesus loves you and explain who he is. And because of sin, as soon as they get a little older, like I say, some might as old as four years old come to Christ. I know my oldest daughter did. My wife said, hey, just wait a minute. She said, she might be too early. We was around the kitchen table, and I lived in a little trailer one time there. And I said, well, you know what? Let's tell her anyway. Let's talk to her about Jesus, that he loves her. She just sat there and looked, and she was all eyes, and she just received it. And she even prayed. And she meant it from her heart. She come to know Christ. But we got to go after the children, because Satan is going to go after them. The younger generation is being overtaken by all kinds of spirits, all kinds of religions, and they're being deceived. But your child is made in the image of God like us. And we're a gift from God, and they're a gift. Our children are a gift to us. They're precious. Bible says precious in the sight of the Lord. Well, he said the death of the saints. I was thinking about that, but you know how precious is a little child. Jesus loved little children. He loved to have them to come to him, and he'd be in their presence, and of course, they'd be in his presence. But Jesus was the king, and he said, I must preach. In Luke 4:43, he said, but he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. There's his purpose. He was sent by the Father to preach the kingdom of God. Let the just king's coming, and he came. And they, a lot of them thought this was something new, but they didn't believe, and like I say, it's sad. That's what's going on with people today. They need to believe. But they'll have to make a decision. They need to hear God, if God speaks to them, and then they need to receive him. And then he'll change them. And that his purpose was to come into this world to die as a sacrifice on the cross. And he shall see his seed. You see, the Bible says he'll see his seed, and he'll be glad. He'll have a remnant. And it says here that I might be delivered up to the Jews, but also it's my kingdom is not of this realm. And I think it's Luke 17:21, whatever verse, he said, oh yeah, if my kingdom were of this world, see, Ephesus' kingdom was from above, then my servants would be fighting that I might not be delivered to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. He came here on a mission, and his kingdom was from above, but he operated in the kingdom, in the spiritual kingdom. He is the kingdom. He's the king, and he lives and reigns in all believers, nor will they look here or there. In Luke 17:21, nor will they say, look here or there, for behold, the kingdom is in your midst. So here he was, right in the midst of many of the Pharisees and the Jews and all those that they were messing with him. But the kingdom is inside of us. I'm going to tell you about the kingdom of God. It lives in us. And it's not a kingdom they could see. They wanted to see something. You know, that's the wrong concept. And a lot of people mock the Christians saying, you got to have faith. Well, if I don't see anything, I'm not going to believe. I've heard people say that. But he'll reveal himself to you. And he makes himself known that this is a reality, that he is real. And it's by faith we trust him. In Romans 14:17, the Bible says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God. It's not about eating. Oh, yes, we have to have something to eat. And we get thirsty, we need something to drink. But the kingdom of God It's about righteousness. That's where he declares us righteous, because he's the righteous one. And he's the only one that can save you. That's why Christianity is the only, I don't like necessarily to use the word religion, because there's a lot of religions in the world. But Christianity is a person. His name is Jesus. And he's righteous, and he's the author of peace. And he gives us peace with God. We give us the peace of God when we trust him. But then, as we continue on in this life, we have peace with God. We can experience that peace on a daily basis, every day. You know? Galatians 5:22-23 says the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? And that's what peace, joy, and righteousness is in the Holy Spirit, you see. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 15:50, I've got a few scriptures. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood, that means corruption, cannot receive or inherit the kingdom of God. This corrupt body in and of itself cannot receive the kingdom of God. That's a natural body. But by faith, we can trust him, the one who died and rose again, and then we can receive the free gift of God, being placed into the kingdom of God. He says, nor does perishable inherit imperishable, which is incorruption. It's talking about transformation. God has to transform us from the natural, and he does a work in the spirit and changes us, and he gives us a desire for him. He saves us, and he saves us forever. In 1 Thessalonians 2:12, it says, so that you might walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. So God is the one that calls us, and he gives us the strength to walk in a worthy manner. And our worthiness is found in Jesus, led by the Holy Spirit. We cannot produce worthiness. We're not worthy in and of ourselves, but he is. This is why I want you to see here that he is the Lord of the living and the dead. He is all in all. We're complete in him, and it's all about him. There are two kingdoms overall, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. You belong to one or the other. So if you in Christ, you belong to the kingdom of God, because he's placed you in by faith, and he's came in and takes up residence, and he's living in you, and he gives you new thoughts. He changed you. He transformed you. But a person that's living in darkness, and they are in deception, and they are losers until they come to know him. And he wants you to be a winner. He wants to bring you out. He comes searching for you. Well, I read that verse, Matthew, in there about, I think it's the 33rd verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It ain't the natural thing to go seeking after God if you don't know him. But I want to tell you, the good thing is he comes seeking after us. He comes searching for us. He died on the cross. He knew that he had a mission to, his righteousness would be enough, okay, to change us and give us a hope beyond the grave, if that's where we have to go. Most people are probably going to the grave. I might be, I don't know. But I'm hoping he's coming to take me out of here, because he says there will be some standing here that they'll, the dead will rise first, and there'll be some that will not taste death. That has to be in his appointed time. The Father's going to send Jesus in the appointed time. I believe he's only coming in the appointed time, and we don't know the appointed time. but the Father does. And when this takes place, we're going to be safe. We'll be caught up and out of here. And that's what I'm looking for. But until then, Lord, whatever comes my way or your way, so be it. Hey, allow me the grace to live each day. And I've come to the conclusion that we're to say to you, what are you going through that you're having a problem with and it's trying to master you? Is it trying to keep you down? Well, I'm going to tell you, look to Jesus and say, Lord, I got a problem and I don't seem to be able to come out of this situation. Or maybe it's got to be me. You're faithful. I could be unfaithful at times. But I trust you. When you come to the place where you say, Lord, I trust you. You know more than I do. You work this out for me, but I'll give myself to you. I'll wait upon you. Well, he smiles when he realizes you give yourself to God because, hey, he's ready and waiting. He wants to hear you say, he wants to talk to you. That's why he's willing and ready to meet your need. If you're going through a problem, there's no problem too hard for God. Okay? He's in charge and he's kind and the last thing he would want to do is try to. But he didn't come to judge. He didn't come to condemn people. But because his character and nature, they have to have, if they say no to God, there's no other, you condemn yourself. Let's put it that way. Condemnation is a person left in their own ways saying no to Jesus, and they're saying no. They don't want no life, and there's no hope for a person that rejects Jesus. But to those that receive him, there's no condemnation. So if he ever sees us perfect in the way he sees us, but in our experience, he realizes that we sometimes go through difficulties. But I want to tell you, if you're going through a difficulty, just keep trusting him. Say, Lord, bring me to the place that I'll say, not my will, but thy will be done. Okay? Don't be afraid. I used to think, oh, I'm trying to hold on. Probably something in my flesh or something I was going through. I said, man, that means he seems to be serious about what he's saying. I tried to hold back, but let go. And let God. And you'll be blessed. Romans 5:17 says, those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life. Didn't say you might reign, but it says you will reign. And though through the one, Christ Jesus, the kingdom of God is not what you do, it's who you receive. Okay? It's all about him. But yes, we're here. But why? Because of him. And he's working in us. And then the outworking comes as we trust him. He'll work out everything you need to go through. And so we reign in him. And I looked it up. And reigning is to abide in him. We're victorious over this life. When we don't have to be troubled down, we can look up and live a higher life. We can abide in him. That's why he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. In 2 Timothy 2:12 speaks about to reign with him, to abide in him. And as you receive, so reign in him. The kingdom is irreversible. I mean, invisible. Now, one day, it will be, a literal 1,000-year reign. Physically, he'll set up his kingdom. But right now, it's about the Spirit of God. Okay? You can't see the Spirit of God. But you can see know that we can't see the Lord. He's invisible. But yet, he's literally alive and well, and he's seated on the throne. He's in heaven, and one day we're going to see him as he is. 1 Peter 1:11, for in this way the entrance into eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. So we're super abundantly provided an entrance, you see, into the eternal kingdom. The kingdom was hidden from them because their eyes were closed. Their eyes were closed. The Jews, and of course, a lot of people today, they live as if there's no God. They live in a culture where a man is trying to make himself a woman, and they're living in a culture where a woman is trying to make herself a man. And they're trying to take what God had, the image of God made he them. They are trying to, the devil saying, we want to change you. Yes, he's changing them for the worse, and they're regretting it. There's people that's committing suicide. This world is in bad need of the Lord. And it's just the end times we're living. We've got to keep looking to Jesus, no matter what happens. And we need to stand up if someone's teaching you something that's not right. We need to stand against it, and we need to stand for God. And if you stand for God, no matter what happens, He'll stand for you. He's already standing for us, even though he's seated. Because we stand with him. Think about it. Jesus preached the good news that the kingdom had come. I wanted to say that over a little bit here. We've just kind of gone over that. The Jews were looking for a Redeemer called the Messiah who would establish his kingdom in victory. They thought he'd fight for it. That's why they pulled out swords and all that stuff. And he said, put them away. It's like, that's not where I'm here for. I'm not coming. And if he wanted to escape, he could have. But he didn't come to do his will. He came to do the Father's will. So, it's about a spiritual kingdom, like I say. They didn't understand because of their unbelief. They rejected him. In Romans 11... 25:26, I don't think I read this, but a partial hardening. That means not a complete hardening. A partial hardening has happened to Israel. Some say the church replaced Israel. That's a lie. That's false teaching. You want to reject that right away. Hey, the church is the church, and the Israel is Israel. Okay? And God has a plan for Israel. Until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and all Israel will be saved, that's the good news. Okay? But when it says all, I looked at that and I had to think about that. That means all that believe, those that trust him, and they'll call upon him in the end where they'll see the wounds in his hands, but they'll believe it'll be by faith. It'll be by, I believe, by grace too. Even at the end of the time of the terrible time of the tribulation, the elect remnant will be saved. Okay? Because God's doing a saving work, and multitudes will come out, a multitude out of the tribulation. Okay? Until Christ returns to the earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, all believing Israel will be saved. When I say that, like I say, it's the believing remnant. Okay? And God died for all the world, but that don't mean all the world's going to be saved. But it's those who believe. The unbelieving of a national Israel, that's the nation, the national Israel, as we know it today. If the nation continues as they are, many of them, they'll be destroyed with all the unbelievers that reject him. So, this is what I come up with from here, out of this, and there's good news for Israel, and I'm glad that finally it turns around. It said he came to his own. I'm going to close this with, he came to his own received him not. Just think about that. His own people rejected him, but God was going, he was much greater. He said, okay, in the end, I'm going to have a remnant return to me. So they'll be saved because what was bad, he works out for good. Okay? And so the kingdom of God at the close in the kingdom of heaven, I believe it's one and the same. It's about his kingdom, about the church, and about all them that will come to know him, they'll be placed in the kingdom by the grace of God, and he'll rescue us. You know, I don't want somebody to leave me standing in a bag or something, or, you know, leave me without. I want a true Messiah. So that's the thing. We have a hope that fades not away in heaven, and both sure and steadfast. Okay? And you can count on it, what he said he'll do. So I hope that the kingdom of God, that subject where we started hearing all that all the time in these four Gospels, and it talks about the kingdom in Ephesians and throughout the books. It's all about him and his the body. He's the head and we're the body. And I hope that'll help you as you think about what I have said and study it for yourself and look up. Just study your Bible. Get to know God on a daily basis and more, because guess what? He's coming, and we want to be ready. We're ready as far as salvation, but, you know, there's some that's expecting him to come. Some are watching for him to come. He said to watch. It don't mean you stand out here and look up all the time. But I do look up once in a while, because I think, oh, the universe, the stars of the night, and all this here he's done. He's a wonderful Lord, and hey, he deserves attention, and I can't tell you enough what he's done for me that I know I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Lord, but somebody prayed for me. So stand your ground, keep praying, keep believing, keep trusting, and keep looking for him, waiting for him, but occupy till he comes, and he will be faithful, because he's our only hope. So thank you for allowing me to share. Let's shut this thing off and find out where it's at. Power. I got to cut the power off here. Let's see. I think if you push that button back.